Good morning. Ooh, sorry. But good morning, and it is great to be home and great to be with you. I would like to begin this morning by thanking Doug for not introducing me as a guest speaker. John and I have had a wonderful trip, and along with others, and we're very thankful for that opportunity, but truly there is no place like home. And you may have heard the expression, all roads lead to Rome, but they really lead to Henderson. And we are grateful for all of you who are with us, all of you who are visiting with us, and we hope you have a wonderful Father's Day. We have a congregation, just like we have wonderful mothers, we have a congregation that is filled with wonderful fathers. One of the examples of that was yesterday at our latest men's breakfast. And for those that were not able to be there, I am sorry. We had guests there that took your place and ate your plate and fared sumptuously. We thank David and Mark and all the crew who are responsible for those events. It is incredible. The room was packed. And we are thankful for the fellowship and for the renewal. As you look at all those people, all those good men, and several sons that are going to be great dads following their dad's examples, you were reminded that we have a congregation of outstanding dads. We're looking at a text today that may not be all the time associated with Father's Day. In fact, I have not thought of this text before in this particular way. But there really are principles here from this upper room discussion where the Lord is reminding the 11 apostles, Judas having chosen to leave and to betray the Lord, he's reminding the 11 apostles of the way forward and some key principles that are going to be essential for them to do the work that he is leaving them. At this point in time, they really cannot imagine what their life is going to be like. Those of us who begin this trek as dads and as fathers really have no idea what this journey is going to be like. And yet, we grow and we learn, and hopefully we learn from the master teacher. Fatherhood is filled with greater challenges than ever before. Not that they have not been filled with challenges from the time of Adam himself. From that time forward, fatherhood, like motherhood, has not been easy. Here is one dad's description of some of the challenges that he faces and that he knows that his fellow dads face. He says, the cost of living is greater than ever before. Now, it is also true that generally annual income is greater than ever before, but that doesn't mean the cost of living is not greater. More hours are required on the job than ever before, and in most households, it takes two incomes to meet the challenges of a modern family. The price of college alone is enough to absolutely overwhelm you. Those of us who are in that particular work understand that very well, not to mention those who are preparing to send children to college and are doing so. Then he says there's an avalanche of knowledge to keep up on. Everywhere you turn, there is more that you, quote, need to know, in fact, must know. There is so much of it out there that it is impossible to keep pace. And as you think in terms of all the gadgets that are invented every single day, sometimes you just throw your hands up in the air and say, I don't know instead of I know. There are the increased pressures, temptations, and dangers to our children. Fast cars, powerful drugs, pleasure-focused advertising, false teachers, unscrupulous people. We are called to be tough and yet to be sensitive at the same time. We are asked to work longer hours as dads and yet also asked to do even more at home. That is one dad's description of what it's like to be him. I'd like for us to look at this upper room discourse and glean some principles as well as blessings of a father as well as a mother that are focused upon the task at hand, the most important work that God gives us, and that is parenting. That is leading and loving in the Lord those to whom He has entrusted us. And it doesn't really stop there. It continues with grandparents, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. It also continues as far as in the church is concerned. Whether you realize it or not, you have the opportunity to be a model, to be an example, to be someone that this precious youth group and our youngsters all throughout the building are always looking up to. They may not see you any other time except when you're in this building. Those of us who have grown up in that atmosphere will always have those images of the people that we admire, that we love, and if at all possible, by the grace of God, we'd like to be like. Here are some principles from this passage for a focused life, and in particular, emphasis today upon our dads. Verses 5 through 7, the Lord has already introduced this chapter by talking about the theme of abiding in me. That means stay with me. Think about the number of people who enter the Lord's church who through either immediately or gradually or eventually fall away. Have you ever thought about why? And there are lessons on that that we'll discuss at other times. But think about those who choose not to abide. There are those, of course, we're surrounded today by people who made the decision to confess their faith in Jesus, repenting of their sins, and were baptized into Christ. And that decision was made once and for all. And here they are. And here they stand. As dads, we've got to always remember our relationship with God is one that has to be developed. It has to be maintained. Just like a relationship with your spouse, just like a relationship with your children, just like a relationship with your friends. Think about a friendship that receives absolutely no attention. It will not remain a friendship very long. And if we forget who God is, the Creator, and if we forget who we are, the created, and that through the life, death, and resurrection of His Son, we have the chance to be adopted by Him, unless we remember all that, we're not going to abide with Him. There are at least 8 different occasions when you read from verse 1 through verse 17 when you find the word abide. Now that is a dominant thought. That's a dominant theme. Abide with the Father. Abide with me. And if you do, there is nothing that you ask or there is nothing that you need that you will not receive or that you will not have. These are promises by someone who cannot lie. And yet, if there's a broken relationship with God, it's not going to be His fault. We're the ones who decide to stray. We're the ones who decide to drift. We're the ones who decide to be disobedient. And then verses 7 and 16, there is emphasis upon the importance of prayer. I suppose the strongest man in the world is the one who can fall to his knees and in the midst of tears confess his weaknesses and admit his need for the strength of God Almighty. It's a prideful thing to be a guy. It's a prideful thing to be a man. It's an even greater prideful thing to be a real he-man in our culture. But the greatest example of manhood is the one who understands that while man and woman created in the image of God is the height of creation, the crown of creation, we are still created beings made of dust. And to the dust we will return. One of my favorite college teachers, Marlon Conley, told a story one time that when he was a little boy, he had great admiration for his father that was a good and godly man. In fact, he would serve as an elder of a large congregation for decades. They told the story that one day as he was going down to the basement, his father had a workshop in the basement of their home. And there was a little crack, a little open area, and as he began to go down the stairs, he could hear his father talking, and he didn't know that there was anyone there with him, so he grew all the more quiet. And as he looked through that little opening, he saw his father, who to him was the biggest man in the world, down on his knees, with a trembling voice, pouring his heart out to God. Brother Connolly says, I do not know what the problem was. He never said. I never asked him. But that image of my dad, who I thought was the biggest man in the world, falling to his knees and praying either for himself or for his family or for someone in the church that was very much in trouble and in need of help, never left me. When you think of all the things that Brother Connolly has accomplished as a gospel preacher, you think of impressions like that. We need to be men of tremendous dependence and prayer. Remember to make your faith practical. This passage talks about the need for obedience. I am the vine, you are the branches. That means I am the Lord, you are the servants. I am the teacher, you are the students. There is the need for obedience in our relationship to God. There is submission to authority. We do not make the rules. We understand the rules or the principles or the practices that come from Scripture. And we need to make our faith practically applied. There is a story of a study being made of two elementary schools and the behavior patterns of the students that were in those schools. One had a playground that was fenced in. Now, it was not fenced in to where they did not have sufficient room and space to do whatever the activity was in recess. The other school had no fence whatsoever. There just seemed to be unlimited room to run and to play and to jump and to do all the crazy things that we did growing up in elementary school. Which one of the two, at the end of the study, would you figure was determined to have the best behaved students? Which one would you say, as they came back to the classroom, were the best behaved and gave their teachers basically no problems? Which one of the two were the best adjusted? Would it be the one that was fenced in, or was it the one that had the open spaces? We probably, except for grade school teachers in this audience, we probably would assume, oh, the one that had the greater space. But no. It was the playground that had boundaries. There was limited space to where you could go. There were limited things that you could do. And as a result of learning that life has boundaries, even at recess, that transfers into boundaries in the classroom. Jonah's always said in the career that she had as teaching that the best adjusted students that she ever had were those who had been disciplined at home, and those who were the greatest problems were those who had never heard the word no. And you see, when you think about how the Lord has taught us, there's a reason why in Exodus 20 we have this marvelous amount of teaching called the Ten Commandments. As it has been said before, they're not suggestions. They're commands. The Lord summarizes all ten in the New Testament when he says, you love God with all that you have and all that you are, and you love each other as you love yourself. Most of our problems would go away if we could be obedient to those two commands. When there are boundaries, when there are fences, when there are limits to what we can do, we are the best behaved, we are the best adjusted, and we enjoy the best life. Sometimes we have an occasional student at school that understands that there must be rules, but why do we have the rules that we do? I always try to tell them because we love you. Not because we're not trying to keep you from having a good time. Man, I had a fantastic time when I was in school. And yet I appreciate curfew. I appreciate you must not do this and you must be here at this time and do this. Well-adjusted people come from backgrounds like that that deal with life in an adjusted, well-adjusted way. Apply your faith. And then remember the chief command is to love. Dads must not only love, but they must express love. They must say the four-letter word, love. I'm going to come back to that in a moment. But in verses 12 and 17, there is the emphasis at the heart of this particular passage in the upper room about not only loving the Lord, but loving each other, even as I have loved you. That was a command, not a suggestion. Very quickly, what are some blessings that come from a focused life as fathers, as parents? The Lord emphasizes in this passage this matter of bearing fruit, of being productive, which not only comes with being a human being, but it especially comes with being a member of the body of Christ, with being a child of God. Someone who is the beneficiary of good fruit must in turn produce good fruit. And you know the story of the barren fig tree, a tree that gave the promise of bearing fruit but did not, and the Lord put a curse upon it to where it would never bear fruit again. And that's the way that we can be if we're not careful. We need to develop a godly, Christ-like character. We will know the joy of the Lord. Notice in verse 11, he says, "These things have I told you, that your joy may be full, that you may be complete." In other words, that you may not be lacking in anything that brings you all the things that God originally designed for us. He also talks about being friends of God. "Greater love is no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you." It's an unusual title in Scripture to be called a friend of God. In fact, Abraham is the one that specifically is mentioned as the friend of God. It doesn't mean that God didn't have any more friends, but Abraham definitely was. What are the two foremost characteristics of Abraham? Faith and obedience. And his faith was proven over and over again by his obedience. And then he says, "We'll be assured of answered prayers." Two different times, whatever you ask will be granted unto you. I'm sure that we don't understand all that the Lord is saying there. There are so many questions about prayer that we have. We have questions about answered prayer versus unanswered prayer. The thing we need to remember as we're thinking about our prayer life and whether or not God does what we ask Him to do, always ask yourself when you pray, and in particular when you are asking for something that is desperate, or something that may not be as desperate as something that you prefer, am I asking according to the will of God? Because even when we make requests, those requests must be in keeping with the will of God. And I know that's not easy, especially when life is hanging in the balance, when we don't know what to do, we don't know what's going to happen. Must be a people who learned that lesson, that our prayers are filled with requests, but they also must be bathed with this expression, "Your will be done in all things." When we pray for that, ultimately, our will be done. Here's some action steps that we can apply for a focused life as dads, as well as for those in any walk of life. I want you to think right now where you are in terms of your, quote, walk with God. Remember, Enoch walked with God. He was not, because God took him, because his life was one that was so in step with what God wanted him to be and to do. Where are you? Are you closer to him than you were the last time you worshiped? Are you estranged from him and yet you're still showing up for worship? Are you gradually drifting away from him and eventually you're going to crash on the rocks of life because you're not really being faithful to him? You're playing at this idea of Christian lifestyle. Notice again the word abide. Remain. Stay with me. Don't leave. Develop a daily quiet time. Prayer, meditation, reflection, carrying out our daily Bible readings that have every year been set out for us by our elders. Let's stay with that. You will never be the worse for it. You will always be the better for it. When you read your Bible, read it not for just simply fulfilling an assignment, but ask questions. What does this mean for me? Is there a command here that I need to obey? Is there a sin here that I'm guilty of for which I need to repent? Is there a promise here that I have not latched on to? Is there a duty here in terms of others that I need to respond to? Is there a life lesson full of wisdom that will help me in the daily decisions of life? And then express your love for your family every single day. Dads, I want to ask you, is there a day that goes by that you do not tell your wife and your children that you love them? I know that you may think that you demonstrate your love, but do you tell them? And there are various languages of love where some people reveal their love by the things that they do for people, but the Lord gave us the ability to speak and the ability to express. Even when you live in the same town, you may have grown children and now raising grandchildren. Every chance you have, you need to remind them that you love them. And you need to really do that. Regardless of mistakes that are made, choices that are wrong, setbacks in life, they need to know. You see, that's the kind of love that we have with the Father. God doesn't leave. We may leave, but God doesn't move. He doesn't leave. The very least that we can do, and the very most that we can do, is to be sure. You are mine. You belong to me. And I not only want to show you, but I want to tell you how much I love you, no matter what. That's the way the Father loves us. So should we love as fathers. I could not help but be impressed in preparing this lesson with the word abide. And knowing how that I like sometimes to attach meaningful hymns to the end of lessons, I think you'll understand why that I would like for us to close by looking again at the first and last verses of the hymn, Abide With Me. There's an observation that I want us to make as we come to the close of these two verses. Abide with me, fast falls the eventide. The darkness deepens, Lord, with me abide. When other helpers fail and comforts flee, help of the helpless, O abide with me. Hold thou thy cross before my closing eyes, shine through the gloom and point me to the skies. Heaven's morning breaks and earth's vain shadows flee, in life, in death, O Lord, abide with me. Now the key for that hymn really being real in our lives we've got to abide with him. There's no question that he is going to abide with us when we make the decision to abide with him. So I ask you, as we sing our song of encouragement today, where are you? How are you doing? In terms of your relationship with the one who has breathed into you the breath of life and given you everything that you have and promises you so much more beyond your imagination. Are you ready to become a child of God by being baptized into Christ? Are you ready to come back to the Lord? If you are even now in the process of drifting away or are out there, it's time to come home. It is the Lord who invites us. It is the Lord who calls us. It is the Lord who really wants to be the Lord of your life. He really wants his Father to be your Father. And for that, in turn, to be the model of fathering your children and those that come under your influence. While we stand here, while we sing.